Hello and welcome to episode 135, 134. Let's try it again. 134 of the Drive the Green podcast. I'm your host, Matty B, joined once again by Bronell and Harv. On this episode, friend of the pod, Mackenzie Hughes, joins us once again to talk about his red hot finish to the PGA Tour season and then carried it over into the Corrales 2 weeks ago. We caught up with him last week right after. We're also going to recap Sergio Garcia's rise to the top. He's back at the tournament
with his eyes closed.
Yeah, golf putting with his eyes closed.
I didn't hear he's anything about that.
Holding the Rooster Cock Trophy. We're going to talk about our weeks. You boys played in the Frosty Classic, the Chilly Willy, as we like to call it.
Furthest from the truth when describing the tournament. Might have been the nice day of the year.
Yeah, when they put that tournament on October 2nd, they probably thought it was going to be a lot cooler than plus 20 with no wind.
It wasn't plus 20, but it felt like close.
Yeah, and before we get into all of that, though, we want to thank our sponsor, Player Golf, PLYRGolf.com. Use the promo code DriveTheGreen. We're also a member of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. So as I mentioned, Mackenzie Hughes back on the show. We'll get to him in a bit. But another week's gone by. We have to talk about our weeks.
What'd you do?
I'll go first because you guys have your things to talk about. Well, we played. I got one round in last week. Pretty much mailed it in at this point.
Wasn't your best round.
Wasn't my best. Golfing once a week now and the tail end of the season, just not going to cut it. Everything's out of sorts. Whatever. So other than that, not a whole lot. I'm just going to get to the booze count. Let you guys run from here.
Yep.
Let you spread your wings. Booze count. September ended at 71. So 71 in September for a 561 at the end of September. And I've had 9 in October so far, not including the four I've had today.
But I thought you did count those Mondays.
Wasn't that a whole thing last week?
I just didn't have them on here yet.
Okay.
So if I include those four, I'm officially at 13. For the month of October.
Aren't we going to talk about your big work accomplishment, passing a test?
Yeah, I passed the test. That's why I'm four deep today.
Celebrating
the test. Mark was 60. I passed. That's good, all that's important. Good enough. 60.
You didn't How'd get you 61 do? Either.
The age old, what do they call the guy that finished last in med school? A doctor.
That's right.
I passed the test.
Yep.
So I'm dipping into the booze tonight. My Chiefs COVID cam moved the Chiefs game to Monday. So watch the Chiefs win right before we tape this, and here we are. Rock and roll.
Speaking of booze, Harv's having two tonight.
Yeah, you may have noticed in the intro that beer crack was Harv. He has to pay up his bet from last week.
I always pay my bets.
Sung J M beat Carlos Ortiz. That was the bet. So
I mean,
2-5 odds.
Do we want to talk about how Harv was hoping that they both missed the cut so then he could use some sort of gray area where they both tied and missed cut? He tried. And then Sungjae
happened
to make
the cut.
I don't
see how it's not a tie.
It's not a tie. It's who had the better score. That was the bet. Not who finished best. It's who had the better score. So
it would have been a tough one to beat him on, though. Like,
I'd take that thing to my grave.
Oh, yeah. But Sungjae threw that one right in on 18 to make the cut.
Yeah, Sungjae
to like a foot.
Sungjae threw Sergio dart on 18.
Yeah.
The exact same shot, really.
Yeah.
To make the cut.
Yeah. I played 36 Thursday. I don't know. I might just start playing 36 once a week.
You enjoy it.
It's unreal.
With the amount of rounds that you have in, you probably already have multiple times.
A couple times.
Oh, lots.
Over 60 now for the year. So
You might touch 80.
You could be close.
He's toast.
He's got 2 weeks left.
Yeah.
Realistically, you're going to get 6 rounds.
Trying for 3 this week.
Yeah. So 6.
We'll see.
So you might get to 70.
See if I survive the week.
We were talking about it last week.
Getting 70 for sure.
I was getting the gears because I was less than 30 rounds. We did the math after. I'm at like 34.
Yep.
But I'm going to be at half the rounds of you this year. And you're only marginally better than me. That's got to be embarrassing.
Half as good, I would say you are. But
the big takeaway of the week is that when we did play Thursday, I blacked out and actually beat you for the first time in 3.5 months.
Impressive.
It has been a while since you beat him, hey?
Yeah.
And I still can't sleep after that shot I hit on 16. I still can't sleep.
That was odd.
Because we were tied going into that hole, I think.
Were we?
Yeah, because I was like...
Oh, yeah, I birdied. You doubled.
I was like 5 over, and I got back to 2 through 15. We were both at 2.
We were.
And then you parred in, or you went birdie, bogey, par or something.
No, I must have been 3 because I went birdie, par, par.
Hmm. Anyways.
Yeah.
Then we played that tournament on Saturday.
Chilly Willy.
So it was...
Heard you guys didn't do too well.
The winners... I'm more than comfortable putting this on the records. The winners cheated.
I'm more than comfortable.
For sure they did.
There is but we no weren't there way, to win. There is I mean, no we way were, someone made seven... No, wait. Eight? No. Seven birdies.
And no bogeys.
And no bogeys with that format and where those pins were and the condition of those greens.
Yeah.
Like you could have hit...
It's impossible.
So were they the classic shag? Or what were they?
Oh, well, yeah. They were a little bumpy, and the pins were in... Like, if people thought the stuff we did at our Labor Day tournament was greasy, this was next level on that. Like,
yeah.
And, like, those some of those greens have, like, turtle backs, and they're, like, right on the edge.
So they were trying to do what Deer Valley does with the Iron Man?
Yeah.
Just the hardest pins possible?
Which was fun, but, I mean, seven birdies on that when you could hit the same putt, the same guy, the same speed, and it go two different directions?
Yeah. I mean,
there's just no way.
I think we only made 2 birdies, was it? Yeah, we made 2 birdies. Didn't make any bogeys or doubles.
Hmm.
Just happened to make a triple, but whatever.
Not important.
Not a big deal.
Alternate shot, man. It can happen to anyone.
Yeah. Shit went sideways.
The funniest part about that triple was when we were playing hole one, there was a ball beside one green in the trees, and we're like, what kind of idiot hits it over here?
Off of 8.
Off of 8.
Yeah.
And that's where our ball was when we were on 8. And we had
the exact same shot.
Must have been. I don't know if he hit it through the fence like I did, but.
Yeah, I thought that thing was in the fence, but.
So triple.
Yeah.
Triple, yeah.
So not great. And then you.
Got banged up, though.
Yeah, it was fine. Bowling after.
Yeah. Went bowling after. Can barely walk the last 2 days. Can you believe
bowling
that?
Bowling is tough on a guy.
I couldn't believe it.
Especially if you don't stretch your hamstrings, good luck walking.
It's insane.
Yeah. I don't care how old you are.
So old.
Yeah.
But at least 5 pins only old. Leg. When you go like 10 pin for the first time and like your whole arm is just like useless.
Yeah.
Like good luck J.O. in the next day.
But anyways. Well,
you don't bowl with both hands, do you?
No. But I also don't J.O. with both hands. So.
And we're off. We're off and running.
I was just going to say.
For those of you that came from Mac Hughes, enjoy. This is what you get.
I was going to say bowling's kind of like riding a bike. Like, you can just pick it up. If you haven't, like, I haven't bowled in 2 years.
Yeah, it's 190 all about, first. It's game. All about tucking the elbow in to keep
is on a straight plane. 190 good in 5 pin, though?
Pretty solid. I mean, buddy Eric was like 270 the first game. But
yeah, that's pretty good.
I went 190.
350 is perfect game. 450.
Yeah.
450.
I went 190, then I fell off my bike and was like 120 in the second.
Training wheels came off. Yeah. You know, you took away the ramp thing that you get to use in 5 pin.
You know what I find impressive about bowling, especially 5 pin, is like people who are really, like really, really good at 5 pin.
Yeah,
like really into it.
5 pins infinitely harder than 10 pin. Prove me wrong.
No, I agree, 100%.
Way harder
because, like, yeah, like you said, it's like riding a bike. You can be kind of in that high ones, maybe squeak into low twos. But when you like look over and see someone score at like 380 and you watch them bowl,
yeah,
it's like, you're like, I'm not doing that. Yeah, and I'll never be able to.
Their arms are cocked way back. Like they're
like, and they're not like just trying to like guide it down the arrows. They're just winging it down there.
Yeah.
And know what it's doing every time.
Fun fact, I'm married to a 5 pin bowler. She,
provincial champ or what?
I have no idea. She pretty much made her quit after we started dating.
Competed in provincials, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, she was definitely in provincials. She might even went to nationals once.
Wow.
Good for her.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Learn something every day.
Yeah. Learn something new every day.
Yeah. Other than that, didn't do much this week.
Hard. Get a little bit of the final round in.
Yeah. Got the sprinklers blown out.
Yep.
lawn year's over. The lawn year's over.
Yeah. Rake the leaves.
I don't have any leaves.
Are you if you had leaves, would you rake them up or would you mow them up and bang?
I'm a big mow up guy.
Yeah.
Like if it was like this situation,
like the studio at Brownells,
I would rake those.
Yeah. I get it. I get why people mow them up, but I'm a raker.
Well, if I got to cut the grass anyways.
You got to do the initial rake, and then you get the stragglers with the mower.
Yeah. Yes. But some people will just straight up mow as they're raking.
That's just asking.
That's a lot of emptying.
That's asking for trouble.
Yeah. All right, you want to get into Sergio?
Yeah, quickly, I guess.
Quickly, yeah, we got to get to Matt.
I watched the last few holes. I didn't see much of the tournament, but
yeah, I see Harv's got some notes. Yeah.
Perfect.
I watched quite a bit of the weekend.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, apparently you putted with his eyes closed.
Yeah, same old. I watch Thursday, Friday at work, Saturday, Sunday. Try to get as much in as I can.
I pretty much tuned in on 14 when he hit that shot over the bunker on that par five.
That was you. You got the last four holes.
Yeah. Like, what granted, a shot that was.
Granted.
Almost the shot of the tournament.
Almost the shot of the tournament until 18. But can you imagine being Mal Natty, who's, you know, nine under, shoots 63 on Sunday. He waited for like 4.5 hours and was just waiting. I'm sure he was just waiting for someone to get tied with him, because then he's like, I know I'm going to lose at this point. But no one just wanted to beat him.
It was two for the longest time before Sergio made that eagle.
I know. It was just like, I actually might win.
He could have played it. He could have played it. Bonus 18. Why should have allowed him to do that?
I'm not sure what the time.
Yeah, get another round in, eh? The guy who just loves rounds. Just like, why didn't you just get another round
in? Go off one and play 18.
Yeah, exactly.
I was.
See you on 18 again for the playoff.
Yeah, like if you're him, that's actually not a bad idea. Like, rather than sit around and wait all day, why can't the guy just go and keep playing?
I mean, he was hanging out with his family. His little baby was there, but.
Yeah. Actually, that's smart. Like, why not just treat it as, hey, like,
can I just keep going warming up?
Well, it might be against the competition rules, but I still like it.
It
like,
is for more, sure. I think there are more guidelines than rules, but
everything's a guideline.
But yeah, I'm not sure the timestamp on it, but I'm pretty sure he finished just after the leaders went off.
Like, just went right back.
He had to wait and watch the entire round.
Yeah.
So.
And then Sergio makes a couple pretty nice little par saves, gets to 18 all square, throws a dart.
Dart, like, walked it in.
That six iron landed so softly.
Mm-hmm.
Classic Sergio. When he putts well, he's always up there. Yep. But he also only putts well once every 5 years, it seems now.
And speaking, JT Poston typically putts well, and he missed two short putts coming down the strats or stretch. Or else he would have been in there too.
He would have been tight. He would have been playoff.
Yeah.
With Sergio. Yeah.
So.
He's got a win in three different decades now. It's kind of a cool thing to have.
It's a fun little stat.
Another guy just did that a couple weeks ago, Stewie Sink.
It's also interesting that, like, he had just fallen to the lowest he's ever been on the world golf rankings and then just wins the next week.
Yeah. Mm.
It's his first win on...
Didn't Phil, when he won on the Champions Tour, win in four decades?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you count Champions Tour wins.
Yeah. I think it's just, like, general wins.
Maybe.
Yeah.
First win since the Masters, though, for Sergio, too.
That's a crazy stat.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like ages ago.
The PGA Tour.
I know. It just seems like ages ago.
Yeah.
Which, it's only, what, 2-3 years ago?
Four.
Three and a half.
2017, wasn't it?
I'm certainly not checking.
Three and a half.
Okay. So, three Masters ago?
Yeah. 3.5 years. I don't know.
How long you want to just sit here in silence and look at each other? What other nifty stats you got over there, Harv?
I was going to talk about the bet, but we already talked about it. I mean, that's gambling.
Yeah.
You take a risk.
That's gambling, baby.
Yeah. I'm 0-2 right now.
Did you guys know that friend of the pod, Scott, don't call me a scooter, Stallings, was T6 this
week? I did know that.
That's also on my list.
Yeah.
I thought that was
the quietest T6 maybe ever.
I will pump our own tires just a tiny bit here, but because I take so many people on DraftKings, I can't follow them on the PGA Tour app, or else I take half the field, it seems like, every week. So my favorite golfers are all the people that we have on the show, friends of the pod. The list is almost too long now.
I have the list for the next tournament.
Yeah, it's too long.
Podcast?
Yeah.
Well, that's
this
is a good tournament to have it in.
I feel like when I look at that, it's just like pretty happy with the.
Well, it's people that we've had. It's been a hell of a ride.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a ride.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Scooter was way up there because he was into like third. Time.
Like, he needs something to get maybe just let him know that this body transformation is working.
Another guy that needed something big time was friend of the pod, Roger Sloan.
Yeah, 32.
Yeah,
yeah. Kind of was up there for a while.
Fizzled is the perfect way to put that.
Yeah,
but still top 30 is good. Mm-hmm. It gets you points.
And just when I had crossed Henrik Norlander off my list of potential picks moving forward, yeah. Just
when I saw him up there,
in another D6.
Sucked your head. Yeah. When I saw him up there, I was like, "Oh man, Harv's on him again."
Yeah. I had a couple other things here. You've mentioned this a couple times, but your guys, a week after you picked them, yeah. Connor 17th and Ventura 6th.
Oh, yeah. I know. It was on my list. I was bringing that up.
It's a thing.
Shortly. And I also said, remember last week, Connors is going to be good at this tournament. And 17, you didn't pretty pick good.
Them. I've thought about starting to do that with DraftKings picks because it's actually happening with DraftKings now. I'm starting to get in there. Keep the exact same team as the week before if you can.
Oh, wow. So I was going to wait until the picks portion to bring this up, but...
Are we going to talk about Tanyan?
I'm going to start doing... Did you just get one?
Yes. So
flag, though.
I think it's past interference.
We'll see here. Just a quick little tidbit for people listening with regards to the Monday Night Football game that's going on. One of the friends of the pod accidentally put $5 on Tanyan to score 3 touchdowns tonight. Yeah. He just scored his 3rd touchdown. Yeah. $400.
What's his first name?
Robert.
Who the hell is Robert Tanyan?
Packers fans would know
next
that.
Next man up.
All right. Sorry. Yeah, that's kind of off topic in the middle of the pod here.
Got anything else? Because I got probably the story of the week.
Well, I was just going to say I was right about Zalatoris too, but
who cares? Back to the Corn Fairy, buddy.
He's playing again, isn't he? This week?
I don't think so.
No. I thought he was.
Maybe. I don't really do any research. Check that out. Sure. Story of the week. Jay McClune.
Okay.
Remember this guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Monday qualified, beat out J.J. Killeen.
Mm-hmm.
So they had an article on him. 4 years ago, he died twice.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
He's just watching TV with his kids and his heart just stopped. They revived him when the paramedics got there and then his heart stopped again on the way to the hospital. Died twice. That's insane. Revived him twice. Then this year during COVID, they were like fixing their lawn tractor and he ended up on like a hoist and the hoist broke and it crushed him and his wife. And so his daughter called the neighbors and they brought their tractor over and lifted that one off of him. He was okay. His wife was like out cold, like dead. He did CPR on her and then the paramedics came and revived
her.
This
is too much.
That doesn't even make sense.
This is too much.
Not even a real story.
And can't
then,
be right.
And then he qualified and finished 63rd this week.
Wow.
Yeah, that's bananas.
That reminds me of Bill Hader in Popstar, one of my favorite movies ever. He does that flatlining. Intentionally dies for a couple seconds just to see the afterlife and then gets brought back to life. It's just a habit of his. It's a hobby.
We want to talk, since we're talking about that next week on the show, hopefully next week, we got Mr. Monday Q that we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We brought it up last week, and he was the second round leader.
Yep.
MJ, spelled Daffu, but I think it's Duffy.
They're calling him Duffy.
Duffy?
Yeah.
But you can't go on that because I was listening to PJ Tour Radio, and they were calling Gliggs Glickick.
Yeah, you can't go by
it's
it then.
Glickick. But yeah, so.
With like the K's, Duffy, KK.
MJ Duffy, Mr. Monday Q. Get this out, reached out to him, said, hey, you want to come on the show? He's the clubhouse leader on Friday, and he messaged us back saying, yeah, sure, when do you guys want to do it? Like, right after, it was within like 10 minutes of his round being finished.
Are we a big deal? Yeah, are we a big deal?
Like, yeah. I guess so.
People are talking.
So yeah, he's going to be on the show real soon. We're going to talk about his Monday Q in what, 9 of 14,
yep.
I think? Yep. Ridiculous.
So yeah. Quickly go over the Canadians. Connors 17, Sloan 32, we mentioned. Gliggs 37th, and then Hearn and Taylor missed the cut. Nick Taylor's struggling a little bit right now.
A little bit.
Shouldn't have taken all that time off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Harv's diving into number 2 for his bet.
Well, you got Ace's birthdays?
Yeah. Give me a second.
Good, because I don't.
Ace's, Patrick Rogers.
Right.
A couple guys picked him this week.
Had an ace and then mailed it in.
Said... I don't need that paycheck.
I don't care.
This ace is going to get me into the cut.
I don't need this paycheck.
Yeah. That ace puts me in perfect position to make the cut. And then I'm going to make a couple bogeys.
Yeah. and par all the par fives.
That's right.
Birthdays, I had former Masters champion birthday week, Danny Willett and Fred Couples.
Right. Saw the Couples thing.
Yeah, I saw something on Twitter that, like, Danny Willett had that brief resurgence where I think he was, like, top five, I don't know, a few months ago and hasn't made a cut since. Yeah. Remember how he was, like, gone and yeah. then he came back for, like, one tournament?
Yeah.
Was top five and now he's gone again.
No, more than one. He had, like, a 3 or 4 week cup of coffee yeah. where he was
yeah,
good
for a while. Good again.
Wasn't
yeah.
that was right around the PGA Championship because I think yeah. he and was right, on power rankings for and, PGA Championship.
And because yeah. his stupid pants got airtime again because I brought it up at the RBC Canadian Open last right. year. And then he started wearing them again and everyone's like, what the hell is he wearing?
The pants.
Shorts over the pants. Yeah, tearaways.
Needed wow. some of those on Saturday.
Yeah, anyway.
Shots of the week. What do you got?
Duh. The 18.
Yeah, too
no.
easy.
Him.
No.
Too easy.
That was a good
El
shot.
El Nino.
That, I mean, that's it. My shot of the week because it cost me a bet.
Fair. You had to drink two Coors Light tonight, hey?
Well, choking them down, but.
No ultras.
Yeah.
Dude wipes?
I was a little unprepared for dude wipes this week. Didn't really have one.
Patrick Rogers after his ace.
Well, I knew you were going to suggest that.
Dude wipes but Taylor Pendrith.
Yeah, not really. I mean, you could technically say Cameron Davis. Everyone was shooting low on Sunday, and he shot even par. He was in the final
he
group.
He was 9-under Saturday, too, right?
He was, yeah, he was in the final group with Sergio, and he finished. Jeez, yeah. What did he finish?
I don't know, but they didn't show one shot of his.
Oh, T6, but not five one. Shots back. No, they showed his last shot.
They didn't show Stallings at all either.
No.
Didn't see him.
It's all about where McCumber got some time. Harv's going to get to that in picks here right away, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, didn't really have one.
We doing news no first or going to Hughes?
I think we should do Hughes and then news.
Huey Lewis in the news? Oh, damn it.
Yes.
I was just a little bit ahead, I think.
No, we got there the same time. I might have just got there a little bit before you. So we're going to get into the Mac Hughes interview. Had a chance to catch up with Mac. We'll be back after the interview for news and picks. Hope everyone enjoys, and we'll be back after.
Matty B with Drive the Green Golf. I'm here with Bronell and Harv. And today on the show, we have one of the hottest players on the planet and two-time guest of the Drive the Green podcast, Mackenzie Hughes. How are you doing today, bud?
I'm good, boys. Thanks for having me.
Yes, you bet. So we're catching you at a good time here, coming off third place at the Corrales, and really, like I had mentioned, you're one of the hottest players on the planet, up to the top 50 in the world. So first and foremost, we wanted to, talk a little bit about carrying over your success from last year into the Corrales this past weekend. And I guess what's clicking in your game right now?
Yeah, no, it's been a nice summer, and, you know, there's obviously a lot of stuff going on in the world that, provides plenty of uncertainty, but my golf game has kind of found a different level. And to be honest, it's a level that I feel like I should be at, or that I feel again, like I should be there, but it's one thing to feel it, another thing to actually do it and to be there. So been really fun to be in the mix in a few tournaments and play well. And then, yeah, carrying it over obviously into the new season, having a chance to win there in Dominican was fun. And yeah, just to be honest, there's many factors that go into it. And sorry, boys.
There you go.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Just got a phone call, but sorry. No, everything that goes into it, there's many factors. I'd say one of the biggest things, though, has been the attention I put into the mental side of things. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things you can control on a golf course is your attitude and your outlook on things. And, you know, you might hit a bad shot into a shitty lie, and how you react to that makes a big difference in how you hit that next shot. You know, if you start, you know, complaining and whining about where my ball ended up and all this lies crap and all this stuff, then you're probably not going to hit a great shot the next time. And my caddy, another good Canadian boy, Jace Walker, from St. Thomas, Ontario, you know, we've done a great job together. Just, you know, just trying to be clear for the next play. You know, we always talk about just trying to get clear for the next shot, be ready to go. And I think that's made a big difference. And then, you know, I've got great support around me, great team, great family, and all that plays into it as well.
Yeah. Did you find that the break from COVID from, right before that happened, you were second at the Honda and then go into the players and obviously all that stuff happened. Is that something that you focused on during the break, was, you know, kind of clearing your mind and focusing on that? Or was it just the uncertainty of it all just kind of, it allowed you to clear your mind a little bit and get back into it?
Yeah, I mean, the time off was definitely nice to be with family, and I think we don't generally get much of an off season, so it was kind of cool for us as golfers to have a few months where there was no schedule, there was no timeline for anything to really do. So I used that time to really kind of get away from the game for a month. I didn't touch a club for a month, and that was pretty nice. But to be able to sit for 3 months on, you know, the Honda and say, you know, I just finished second, and, you know, my game obviously showed some good signs there. So yeah, it was a nice break for the refresh, but also I had good memories and good vibes to kind of draw back on from the Honda.
Yeah. Harv, you were going to ask something there.
I was just going to ask the same question. So then you kind of just cut me off there and just rolled right into it. So we can move on.
Yeah. Perfect.
What an asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
Guys always do that.
Oh, I got a question. So you were talking about the mental aspect. Is there any like swing related things that you're working on right now? I mean, obviously your chipping is in a good spot right now, but anything you're working on right now?
Yeah. So that's definitely an area of my game that, I've been trying to shore up, and if it gets to the level that, my short game and putting have been on the last 4 or 5 months, then, you know, it'll be a pretty dangerous combination. Full swing wise, I really haven't worked on anything too specific, but obviously just trying to be a bit more reliable off the tee. I drive the ball okay, and I'm above average length, but just want to hit a few more fairways and, take away one of those, you know, foul shots into the trees or whatnot. But it's just one of those things. I can't pinpoint something that I'm really like trying to work on. Like, I guess one thing I would say I've been focusing on the most would be, you know, I have a tendency to get fast in transition. So, you know, from backswing to downswing, I tend to rush that at times. If I get, you know, under the gun, and that's the first thing that wants to go faster is that transition. So if I slow that down and keep that under control, typically I'll hit a really good shot, but nothing too crazy. I'm really mostly a feel guy. I don't get too caught up in the technical side of things. I like to play with feels and just really simple thoughts. So, but yeah, there's been, you know, a few weeks where I've, you know, started to hit the ball a little better, and it takes a lot of pressure off, my putting and chipping. But, yeah, I still, it's a work in progress, and, I'll keep trying to hit it like my boy, Corey Connors, in the future.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Corey, you guys, had the opportunity to play, just transition a little bit into the US Open and playing with him and Hadwin all in the group there at Wingfoot. What was that like, not only playing with those guys for those couple of days, but, just the whole Wingfoot experience as a whole?
Yeah. You know, first off, playing with those guys, we play a lot of practice rounds together, you know, especially Corey and I. And so to have that experience in the U.S. Open together playing was a lot of fun. Just took a little bit of the edge off playing in a major. But, it was really cool walking around with those guys. And then Wingfoot itself was probably, I mean, if not my favorite, one of my top three favorite courses that I've ever played. Still kicked my ass, but didn't change how I felt about the golf course. Just really cool green complexes, and yeah, just not two holes that looked the same at all, which was kind of cool. And a lot of history there. And so I had a great time. Didn't play the way I would have liked. You know, kind of back to my last point, I just wasn't putting the ball in the fairway enough. And I was wearing out my nine wood from the rough, which it is hard to make a lot of birdies the nine wood out of the rough. I did manage to make a couple, and the boys were loving my nine wood, but yeah, just didn't quite have it that week. But overall, it was a good experience. And you know, the more you keep putting yourself in majors and playing in majors, I think just, you know, it helps you, you know, progress. And you look at even like a guy like Bryson, you know, I don't think he had a top 15 in a major until the PGA this year. And he had already won 5 times on tour. So it takes guys sometimes a little longer to, you know, make that next kind of jump up. But hopefully next year I'll be ready to, you know, start contending in a few majors.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, was the nine wood just in the bag for that week, or is that something you're always rocking, or is, and what was the reason for it? Like, I've never heard of a nine wood. So,
well, first off, I just kind of got a glare in my eye from that Sens jersey in the corner. I got to kind of
I'll just make sure you can see it a little bit better.
Oh my goodness. Well, he's actually a Leaf now, but
don't bring that up.
That's a tough scene over there, but we'll get past it. Yeah, the nine wood is not a normal staple in the bag, but it's, you know, I had a seven wood in the bag for the US Open thinking that it would be great out of the rough, and the rough was so long that, you know, the seven wood wasn't quite coming out the way I wanted to. And the nine wood is like, I mean, it's hard to describe, but it's like hitting a spatula with like some meat on it out of the rough. I mean, it's like you can get the nine wood on some of the grossest lies that you've ever seen. Like, my caddy was, you know, not quite a believer in the nine wood. And then we did some practice with it prior to the tournament, and he'd throw me in some lies that he thought were kind of like wedge out lies and some just really nasty lies. And I'd hit nine wood like 180 yards, 200 yards out of that lie. And he was like, holy shit, like, you know, we got to put this club in the bag. So it's very much a unique club to certain golf courses, and really just for, you know, incredibly long rough. If you hit nine wood off the fairway, you might hit yourself in the face because there's so much loft on it, but out of the rough, it's magical. So yeah, it'll stay around, but only for certain golf courses.
How did that even come up? Like, how did it, like, were lots of guys using a nine wood, or was it just something that
So I actually saw or heard that guys were using nine woods at the PGA at Harding Park, and
okay,
I had a seven wood in the bag that week, and I thought that was pretty good out of the rough. Had never even thought about hitting a nine wood in my life. And then I was kind of at Wingfoot and thinking to myself, I just wonder what it's like. I might as well just give it a go and see if it's, you know, worth giving, like, you know, yeah, worth the hype and worth putting in the bag. And, you know, first few shots I hit with it, I was like, this is going to be a game changer. So it honestly, it saved me numerous shots because I was able to get on the green a few times from pretty much jail or just, you know, terrible lies. And
right.
And so, yeah, it definitely pulled its weight around Wingfoot.
Good. Yeah. Did you enjoy going through? Obviously, you said it kicked your ass. It was starting to kick other guys' asses throughout Friday and the weekend. Is that something that you were hoping to see? Do you like to see that type of carnage on the golf course as compared to, you know, some of the events where you're seeing guys at 25 and
yeah, 24? Yeah. I prefer the you know, the ultimate kind of grind and the tough golf courses. Like, you know, obviously Honda wasn't as tough as Wingfoot, but, you know, the Honda is a golf course where, you know, that no one's going to get to double digits under par typically. So it's going to be kind of a survival test and, you know, trying to sprinkle in the odd birdie here and there, but generally just kind of par your way around that golf course and you're doing quite well. And I like that kind of golf because there's a bit more strategy involved. There's a bit more thinking, you know, there's a lot more variability in scores. So you can kind of separate yourself from guys if you're playing well. And so that's more my style. I actually wish that Wingfoot, you know, even though I shot 8 over, I wish it had played harder. I think on Thursday there was, you know, 20 guys under par or something like that. And there's 65 and a 66. And I think they could have made it a little tougher. I think they kind of eased into it on Thursday and were kind of scared to make it too hard. But yeah, overall, I would say that style of golf suits me a little better. And I prefer that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a good way to kind of transition into the BMW was where you had the opportunity to qualify for the Tour Championship and that played like Rahm won that with 4 under par. So, I mean, did you find that that's where you, like you had just mentioned, that's where you hit your stride and were able to get under the top 30?
Yeah. BMW, Olympia Fields was awesome. Great golf course and just love the way that played. So firm and, you know, rough being up, small greens, a lot of slope. So yeah, it's just, it had everything that you wanted. It's made the golf course really difficult. And also the wind blew pretty strong the first couple of days. And so the recipe was just perfect. I mean, I think one under par was leading through 2 rounds and, you know, I'm at 1 over just, you know, in great position, but just, I love the fact that, you know, we were playing, you know, scores around par that were close to leading. And they actually put some water on the course, I think Friday and into Saturday. And, you know, you saw some guys put some scores up. I think Rahm was like, I want to say he was 5 or 6 over through 2 rounds and he shot like 65, 66 on the weekend or something like that. So, you know, he kind of went from not being in it to, you know, posting some really nice scores and getting back in the tournament. So I would have loved to have seen it just keep the water off and, you know, let's just see how it goes the rest of the weekend and, you know, maybe +3 or +4 wins that week. That would have been, you know, again, more fun to me. Now I know guys sort of want to see birdies and people that are watching, I think, you know, don't want to see guys always struggle, but we don't play that many courses where it's like that. So, you know, I think whenever you get the weather and the conditions to do it, I don't see why they don't just, you know, keep making it super hard. You know, there's plenty of 20 under tournaments that we play in with lots of birdies and we don't often get the, you know, US Open type tests. So, but no, that was obviously a fantastic week. I knew kind of what I needed to do. And while I didn't get the win and, you know, obviously I started the last day in pretty good position, but, you know, plan B was to finish top 30 and go to East Lake.
Yeah. Well,
you've had a chance to play with quite a few bigger name guys. I mean, you're kind of a bigger name guy now, right? But who impresses you the most out of all like the top guys?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think the guys that do things that you don't feel like you can do, I think those are the guys that impress you the most. Like, so I look right away at guys that hit it, you know, 300 or 310 through the air. You know, not many guys have the ability to do that. So when I play with a Tony Finau, a Dustin Johnson, those types of guys, I am super impressed by the fact that they drive it essentially the same kind of accuracy as me, but they hit it 30 yards past me, you know? Right. So that's impressive. And then they, you know, from there, obviously with the speed they have, they can generate, you know, more height and, you know, say hit a 5 iron from, you know, 230 and hit it, you know, sky high. And so certain shots here and there and just, you know, the speed and the power with some of those guys play with is really impressive. Now I'm sure some of those guys might play with me and think something maybe around the greens or maybe the way I chip or something like that would stand out to those guys and go, oh, I wish I could, you know, do that. So everyone's got their own little thing that maybe they do that other guys wish they could, or, you know, no one's really got, I would say, everything, you know, just the way they would like. Now, there are certain guys, obviously, right at the top that do a lot of things really, really well and obviously have stayed in the top for a while. But for me, it's those really long power players that, you know, hit the ball, you know, really long and drive the ball, you know, relatively straight.
Sure.
Yep. So
I've officially entered the dark here, boys.
Yeah, I see that.
No kidding. Sun went down quick.
We can still hear you anyway.
So the season's kind of a super season with these 50 tournaments. Have you put any thought into kind of your scheduling? Are you picking as many events as you can? Are you focusing on maybe some where you got a better chance to win, maybe a weaker field? Where do your head kind of sit at in that kind of regard?
Yeah. With the schedule, I think that, you know, it's tough to look at a 50 event schedule and lay it all out and say, yeah, this is where I'm going to play for certain. I haven't, you know, the beauty of making East Lake was that I got to set my schedule around the biggest tournaments and know that without doubt, I'm in those biggest tournaments, which in the past couple of years, I haven't known, you know, for example, if I was in the US Open or if I was in the Masters or, you know, a certain WGC event. So that is pretty exciting that I know I can build off those big tournaments and kind of layer in around them. As far as like some of the other tournaments, like Corrales is a great example of a course that I just like, and I know it's not, you know, the best field that we'll have on tour, but it's just a golf course that I like. So I like picking based on golf course sometimes and just ignoring everything else about it. Like it, you know, it could be an opposite field event sometimes or whatever. And you just go, I love that golf course. Right. But yeah, for the most part, I'm going to try and pick a schedule this year that allows me to have my best chance to make that Olympic team in Tokyo. And that's obviously a huge goal of mine. And I would love to represent Canada. So playing a strong schedule and probably not playing too much. Like I think the world ranking is flawed in many ways, but it's also flawed in the way that, right, you know, you look at Tiger and how he's stayed at top for so long when he was at his peak run. I mean, he would play 20 events a year tops, maybe 18, but you know, he'd win 6 times and have, you know, 15 top tens. But his divisor was so low that, you know, his point total was just, you know, insane. Right. So you kind of get penalized for playing too much. Like a guy like Charles Howell III plays a lot, plays well, but he's probably penalized world ranking wise just because he plays 30 events or 32 events a year. So I'm not sure if that's really the way it should be, but regardless, that's the way it is. And so I'll try and pick a nice, a strong schedule, you know, play some courses that I love, but really try and focus on those big tournaments and playing well in those big events.
Yeah. And that must be Jazz Jananana-One's secret sauce too, because he's been in the top 60 in the world for like 4 years.
Yeah. Well, that's a different topic for another day, but the flaw in the world rankings is, there's just,
you can leave it at that.
there's many holes that we can, address. So
yeah, for sure.
But yeah,
you well, had, even as good as Taylor Pendrith is playing, the fact that he's ahead of Nick Taylor doesn't really add up either in my mind, but
yeah. No, I mean, and we've talked about that even amongst, you know, like with Corey, I talked about it, and I think, you know, maybe Adam Hadwin, and, you know, it's not a knock on Taylor. And to be honest, if he's playing the same golf this year on the PGA Tour, he might be higher. Yeah. But my thing is, like, you know, until you've proven yourself at the highest level against the best in the world, you know, it's hard to be ranked better than them, you know, like, and again, that's, it speaks to the system and just the way it is. But, you know, I think Taylor's played, you know, three tour events. You know, Nick's played on tour the last 6 years and never lost his card. You know, just won Pebble this year. And so you're like, you know, something in there seems a little off, but there's no arguing that Taylor's golf has been, you know, some of the best in the world. It's just, you know, he's not doing it, I guess, against the best players in the world on the PGA Tour. Not saying that that exact same golf won't produce the same results. It's just that he's just not on the tour yet. But, you know, time will tell, and I'm sure we'll see a lot of the same. But, yeah, just it's hard. You know, the rankings aren't going to be perfect, and there's, you know, there's definite flaws, but it seems to have worked okay for the last little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
To be the man, you got to beat the man type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Just one last thing on the schedule. Obviously, we got you're going to have some decisions next year with being able to play in as many tournaments. I'm sure you've looked at it, but there's Memorial followed by RBC Canadian Open followed by the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. Are you planning to play all three? And is that something that you've been looking at?
Yeah. Well, you know, Memorial, I love, played great there this year. So that's a for sure. RBC is a for sure. And Torrey Pines is a for sure. So, you know, it honestly,
easy answer.
I hate to, my schedule is almost too good. There's the fact that like you have to skip a lot of great tournaments because you're in, you know, every tournament. Like there's not a tournament that I'm not able to play. Mm-hmm. So there's 50 events and with the exception of there's two WGC that I'm not currently in. I'm not in, the match play. I mean, I would be in the match play, but I'm not officially qualified for the match play. And then the one in Memphis, I'm not qualified for, but if I was top 50 by year's end, I'll be in the Memphis event. So when you're in that many tournaments, you know, you ultimately have to make tough decisions to skip events that you love. And so that'll be hard next year to skip some of those ones that, like, I think I might be skipping the Charles Schwab in Fort Worth. Love that golf course and have played well there in the past. So that one would be tough to skip, but I think I might be skipping it and, you know, things like that, but I'm not complaining because I love the schedule I have. It's just, you know, there's so many great tournaments and it's tough to skip them.
Yeah. And then you fall victim to being top 50 in the world and not being in the November Masters, but being in the April Masters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Feeling, I'm sure.
Yeah. I talked to someone about that recently and I'm totally cool with it because, you know, it's been laid out that way from the, you know, the spring on. You know, they said, you know, this is our field. We're going to lock it in for the fall. And that's going to be that. You know, obviously I'd love to be there, but, you know, I'm honestly, you know, in a weird way, more excited for a spring Masters where maybe we have some fans and, you know, have a par three contest. I know they're not having a par three contest this year. So, you know, I kind of love all that extra stuff too. You know, like you go to the Masters and you know, you're on 16 and you're skipping balls across the pond and, you know, there's people going wild and loving that. So that part of the Masters is really fun too. And hearing the roars. So hopefully by April, we have a somewhat normal looking Augusta National in the Masters.
Yeah. And hopefully RBC Canadian Open.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really pulling hard for that one as well. I don't want to keep missing that one because, we only get one chance as it is per year, but, you know, time runs out quick.
Yeah, exactly. One last thing, obviously with success comes a tracker account. Are you aware of your, Mackenzie Hughes Twitter tracker account?
I am aware. I've seen his stuff and we've engaged once on Twitter. He was upset after Wingfoot and I told him that you know, it's all good, but we'll get him next time. And I think I gave him some comfort, but I have no idea who that is. I think I like it that way. It's just like, yeah, it's just an anonymous guy. But yeah, he tweets some pretty funny stuff. He seems to live and die on every shot. And you know, yeah, when I make bogey, he's pretty crushed. But then, you know, I pick him right back up with a birdie and he's all good again. So yeah,
that's a classic can't meet your heroes scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I'm aware there's, it's, I think with the territory, like you said, like you play a little better and stuff like that, you know, starts coming up, or you, then you start getting like the haters or the, you know, the people chirping you a little more, or, you know, like in Dominican last week, I, for the first time probably ever playing in a tournament, you know, well, on the PGA Tour, where you're like one of the betting favorites, and
yeah,
you know, you got guys telling you, hey, I've, you know, put this on you, you know, or, you know, if you, you know, if you didn't play well and people put money on you, they'd be all over your case. So yeah, just different you know, different territory for me, but it's fun, and you know, if you embrace it and just have fun with it, it's not all bad. And you know, I think most people, you know, get it to an extent. Like if you are a normal person, you bet on sports, I mean, like, yeah, you might not like the result, but you also understand that like betting on sports and life is just, there's unpredictability in everything. Like, you know, the favorite doesn't always win, and you know, certainly people play bad and have bad performances too. So but yeah, it's gonna be a fun year, and I'm excited to yeah, hopefully keep playing the way I am, and you know, win some big events and keep plowing the world rankings.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. And I did pick Mac there in our picks last week. So you did help me win amongst the three of us here. It would have been a lot different conversation if I would have lost, but but you won. You pulled it off for me. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Perfect. Yeah, and I got one last one before we let you go. You're talking about sports and disappointments. Well, we can't not talk about the NHL playoffs.
You're gonna go right there.
and I don't know if you had a chance to watch the Blue Jay game right before we started this. I think it might. I don't know if it's over yet, but Blue Jays are out. Leafs window is all but closed. I guess your thoughts on Toronto sports right now.
Well, so I'll start off with, you know, the Raptors, and
yeah, that was disappointing. Yes.
So we've. I mean, obviously this year was disappointing in the way they exited, and in that kind of final game where it was just an abysmal finish. But yeah, obviously they had a great season, and coming off the title last year, you know, they can be forgiven, right? They just produced championships. So, you know, as much as it sucked, you know, it happens, and, you know, we got a ring from them. That's amazing. Yep. The Blue Jays, you know, to me, the glory years for them, there was like probably what, 5-6 years ago, they had Bautista, yep, and it was the bat flip, and you know, that those couple years back to back, and the fact that they didn't get across the line one of those 2 years, I pretty much thought that was going to be one of our last chances for quite a long time. And but speaking of that, I mean, it was so much fun to be like watching that run, and I mean, I can't think of ever being that excited watching, you know, baseball and watching the Blue Jays. I mean, that run was electric, and you know, that series against the Rangers, and you know, it had so many good things going for it. But I haven't been super into baseball this year. I mean, they had a really weird start. They, you know, they kept going back and forth, and then they eventually ended up playing 60 games, and you know, yeah, the Jays made the playoffs. I was like, it's like, yeah, they made the playoffs, but it was a 60 game season, and it was, you know, there was a bit of a, you know, not a great feel to it. So I haven't been huge into the baseball. But then, you know, getting to my homies with the Leafs, my boys, last but not least, they are, they've been disappointing to say the least. But I still love them. It's just, there's so much talent there, and you know, we're paying those top guys a bunch of money, and you just love to see something produced other than a first round playoff exit. It seems like we're better than that, but we're not showing it. We're not, you know, like you said, it's one thing to feel like you are, you know, better than that, but it's one thing to actually do it as well. So we got lots of work to do. We think we need a couple more pieces. I hate to say it, but I feel like we need to get rid of one of those top guys, unload one of those guys, and maybe get, you know, a top line defenseman, someone with some toughness and expertise and just experience back there on the line that can kind of give those boys some reassurance that, you know, the back end is protected a bit better, and take some pressure off Freddie. Cause I think Freddie is, while he's let in some questionable goals, I think he just gets a lot of grief because he just gets so much action. He gets so much work, you know, he gets worked in every night, you know, with 40 shots or, you know, 50 shots sometimes. And it's just like, you know, the guy's going to let in a few goals. I mean, you get peppered that many times. So, but yeah, I'm still hopeful. They've got a couple more, you know, good years with those boys up top. So fingers crossed, we'll see. I know that there's a lot of pressure on those guys to perform. And, you know, I know that there's sometimes you just come across, you know, tough opponents and you know, I know they played the Capitals a couple of times and, you know, it's tough playing like the Bruins or, you know, the Caps first round. Yeah. Like I mean, I thought the Blue Jackets this year was probably one of their best chance to kind of get past that first round, and then they still didn't do it. So
you can shit on Harv to make yourself feel better because he's a Sens fan. Like, lay into this guy.
Yeah,
the Sens.
Yeah, right. I mean, but like bright. At least the Sens, you know, they've had some. I mean, again, it's been a while, but they had some good runs. You know, not long ago. Like, it's been a while since the Leafs really scared anyone in the postseason. And we obviously got some severe scar tissue from 7 years ago, you know, that Bruins lead. I still wake up in a cold sweat sometimes just thinking about that game. And then they've obviously knocked us out a couple more times since then. So the Bruins have our number, the Capitals have our number, pretty much everyone in the first round just got our number. So, But yeah, I mean, odds are we gotta bounce back from that. I mean, I think it's only gonna get better, I think, and those guys will get more and more experience, and they'll get hungrier, and hopefully we'll buck this trend and start moving on to the second round, some bigger and better things.
Well, and to tie this all in a nice little bow, you were talking about how you believe the mental toughness that you've developed has helped you turn the corner, and I think some of that can be attributed to being a Leafs fan. So there you go, tie it all together. Man, you
tie it all together, or just like you just kick me while I'm down. Just
yeah, exactly.
I'm talking about my boys.
Please don't hang up.
I'm a little sad, and you just like boom, roast it. I'm just gonna smoke you. No, I mean it's fair. It's fair. They're just not that good right now. A lot of. On paper, you'd be like, wow, this team is unbeatable. But they're proving to be quite beatable. So
that's why they play the games.
That's why I lace them up. Yeah. All so right.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Mac, we appreciate you joining us for second time. We look forward to seeing you playing in many tournaments this year, including all of the majors. And hopefully we get to see you at the Canadian Open next year. And there's fans there. And we're having the time like we did 2 years ago at Hamilton. So. Yeah. I really appreciate it, and we look forward to following you again this year.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, boys, and we'll talk soon.
Awesome.
Talk to you here, man.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks, boys.
All right.
Okay, cheers. All right, bye.
Bye.
Big thanks to Mac Hughes for joining the boys. Refreshing to catch up with a guy who's been on the show before. It's been 18 months, I think, since he's been on the show.
Yep.
And guy's red hot, top 50 in the world. So refreshing to chat with him.
I like that he is all but confirmed what I've been saying for a while now, that the world golf rankings are a complete joke.
Mm. Yep.
He even admitted that it's a little weird that Pendrith's ahead of Taylor. Like, that just doesn't make sense.
And I brought up Jazz, and he changed the subject. Yeah. So
that's all you need to know. We'll be talking about that later.
Yeah,
that's all you need to know. It comes up again this week.
Yeah.
Little too much Leafs talk for my liking, but
yeah, we got a little Leafs hockey talk at the end, but hey,
he just went down the path. He was a little somber. Like,
he's passionate.
He wants to be a fan, but he knows the window's closing.
I felt bad for kind of piling it on, but hey, here we are. PGA guys are people too. One of the boys, you gotta throw some barbs his way.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right, let's get into the news. Quick hits. Next.
First one, Bermuda Championship. First tournament that's going to allow fans.
They're going to hand out that wood triangle in front of a bunch of fans.
Great trophy.
Like, how many fans? Like, what's the percentage of capacity?
I think I did that for research. Yeah. No, I don't think it's full, but I think it's like 50.
All we need to know is that there's fans. That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the tweet.
Cool. Next.
Next. just the, we talked about it last week, the Brown Augusta pictures.
Yeah.
And now 10 days later.
It's like better than any course in Canada.
It's just Augusta again.
Yeah.
It's so nuts what they do to that place.
They were saying it was from like seeding and like overseeding. I assume they were just going to do like some of those Euro tournaments where they just roll out, have that conveyor belt of sod that just rolls everything out and then they cut it. But I guess they seeded it and it just grew.
Well, and you got to think of the temperature and the just the humidity, all that stuff.
I guess that is an area.
It doesn't take long to grow grass down there.
Big grass guy over here.
Big grass guy.
It's an art.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't mind. Yeah, it was a hell of a transformation. That's all I got.
Yep.
Next, let's start with the Champions Tour. No tournament this past weekend, but it's the SAS Championship this week.
The sauce.
Yeah. Jim Furyk's the favorite by a wide margin.
Hmm. Who's second?
Longer. I think he's won at like three of the last 4 years.
L's playing?
Yes. Probably. He's second in the power rankings. Furyk's first and the betting favorite.
I'll be tuning into that for sure.
Bruno loves himself some Champions Tour.
Oh, I love it.
Love it. I have a hard time arguing with you either. It's just so much more laid back. It's awesome to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's no European Tour.
Oh, that's good too.
I watched a lot of that. Segue going to the European Tour, the Scottish Open.
Yeah.
Aaron Rye.
Yeah.
He was second last week at the Irish Open, not in Dubai, in Ireland. First this week in Scotland.
Yeah. Iron covers and all.
Yeah, I saw that picture.
He has iron covers, but they're like crossed out because they're different irons, I guess, underneath.
It made no sense why he has them crossed out.
It makes no sense why he has them on.
Exactly.
Like there's a whole...
His whole yardage book thing too was insane. Did you see that?
That was nuts. But like there's a whole... You can make a whole meme account just dedicated to iron cover memes and get millions of followers.
Can you explain what's going on with his yardage book for those that don't know what you're talking about?
Like Bryson level.
Yeah.
Mm. One of those.
Detailed.
One of those.
Very detailed. But yeah, I mean, he was pretty much gifted that tournament. Robert Rock should have won. I mean.
Robert Rock is probably the guy that you talk about the most who never, not you, but just in general.
Yeah.
Never comes through in the clutch.
No. Mm.
Like he's been there in a few majors where it's like, oh, Robert Rock. The guy's not wearing a hat and he's in the final pair.
I think it has to do with him not wearing a hat.
I think that's why he sucks. Well, I just think it's why they talk about him.
Yeah. He just gets a little bit too much sun. I don't know.
Look at this dummy. He's not wearing a hat on a golf course. He ain't winning.
Yeah. I think it's part of it's the expectations of living up to that handle.
Yeah.
Robert Rock.
Yeah, I think he made my top five names.
He did. Yeah.
The conditions, Saturday or Friday?
Saturday.
Awful.
Saturday.
There.
Third round. Yeah. Yeah. And some of the big names that maybe used to the PGA Tour did not fare so well.
No.
Westwood, Poulter, they struggled in the tough conditions.
Yeah.
But Tommy Fleetwood said he wants it all day. He's like, it's just fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then it is fun.
A lot of those guys can't handle it.
And then Fleetwood cans that 15-footer on 18 to go to a playoff, and it's like, oh, this guy's got it in the bag.
That putt.
Puked all over himself in the playoff.
That should have been the dude wipes, because that putt on the playoff hole... Like that didn't even smell the hole.
Yeah,
no, not even.
I was
like,
going to use the word sniff, but yeah. Smell, sniff.
Like it wasn't even close.
I think they're close.
Like smell is a little more like enthusiastic because it was that bad. Like it was like a full.
Everybody uses sniff all the time. Yeah. Next.
I had a few more things on that one. Paul Lowry, British Open winner, retired from the European Tour. After this
Yes.
620 events he played on the European Tour. They had a big send-off for him and whatnot. But
and one Open Championship.
Yep. They also did a one-club challenge at this tournament.
I forgot to watch that video again.
It was pretty good.
Find that tweet?
It was three players.
Okay.
I only know that Bernd Wiesberger was one of them. I have no idea who the other two guys are. But they had three cards. You randomly drew one. One guy got a putter. One guy got a 9-iron, one guy got a driver. It was like a 340-yard hole.
And you have to play the entire hole with that club.
Yep.
Still think you want driver there.
They all tied with pars. The guy just went perfect 9-iron, 9-iron onto the green. The putter guy hit like a 270-yard putter off the tee and then like hit his next putter out of the rough just in front, two-putted from there. And the driver guy almost drove the green but then chunked his driver chip and then two-putted from there.
Three pars.
And then so they went to a playoff that was the long drive with a putter, had to hit the fairway. And one guy hit it like 270, the other guy hit it like 265.
Wow.
And to celebrate, he threw his putter into the ocean.
Because it was busted, probably.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, it's busted.
It was broken. Yeah.
Yeah. Putter is an like underrated that. Club for those one club challenges.
Very underrated.
Yes. Better than you think.
Yep. I think blades are preferred.
Yes.
Don't think a mallet's doing too much damage.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be tough to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... But. Now that you mention it, it was in fact a blade putter. The only other thing I had about this tournament, Jazz, bringing it up, missed the cut by a lot, stayed flat in the world golf rankings. Didn't go down, didn't go up.
It's an algorithm, man. You should be in favor of it. It's
being Randy likes it. Why would I like it?
Next.
Did he reach out to you? Did he send you a text?
Fucking next.
I really like that world golf ranking.
I'm going to ask him about it. I'll tell you that much. Korn Ferry Tour, Savannah Golf Championship. Evan Harmeling wins in a playoff.
Sounds made up.
He went to Princeton, so they were talking about how he's a big stats guy, numbers guy, but also very superstitious because he wore the same clothes Saturday and Sunday.
I love that.
I loved it. Loved it.
Did he nice. Wash
I,
them?
I didn't think you would because you're a big fashion guy out there.
Fashionista, if you will.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that I think I'm more so like if he would have wore just a generic outfit, wouldn't have liked it as much. But it's a bright yellow shirt that's very noticeable.
Right.
But do you think he washed it or do you think it's even a second shirt that's the exact same?
I think it's the exact same shirt.
But not washed. Just
no.
Just like
took it off,
socks.
Took it like off Saturday. Put it back
socks
on
or something.
I would hope he doesn't have two of those shirts kicking around.
Don't think he washed it.
Okay. What else? Oh, I just had Pendrith miss the cut by a lot.
Yeah, he did.
Cut was.
I think
minus
he mailed
six
it in a week.
He was plus one.
He mailed a friend of the pod, Willie Wilcox, was dead last. Just withdrew after the first round. Done. Don't want to be here.
Yep.
Which is, I mean. If you're a guy that's been around as long as Willie Wilcox and you are that far out of it, I'm surprised more guys don't do that. It's like, yeah, you know what? I'm out of here.
Yep. I don't mind it, actually.
Well, he even said on the pod, he prefers the late early.
Yeah.
Just in case he stinks on round one, then he's out of there quick.
It's an individual game. You're not LeBron James walking off the court at the end of the game.
It's absolutely why the Champions Tour is...
Snuck that in there, eh?
Yeah. Yes, I like that. It's why the Champions Tour is only three rounds and there's no cut. Because those guys would all withdraw if there was a cut.
Yeah. That's a great point. That is a great point.
Yeah.
And you couldn't blame them, especially guys like Mickelson, Furyk, Els, Longer that have
Can
like
you imagine
Jimenez.
If they, yeah, they got like 80 to 100 million in the bank.
Yeah.
Oh, I've shot plus eight today.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wine time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next, last one. Next. LPGA Tour, ShopRite LPGA Classic presented by Acer. Mel Reed. First LPGA win.
Yeah.
But good the trophy her. Here looked like the trophy from the Korn Ferry Tour a couple weeks ago, like that big vase.
Mm,
yeah. She had a big old beer out of it.
I'm not so sure. It's just not the same trophy, and they recycled it.
they took it away from the guy that won it on the Korn Ferry Tour. We got to get this thing to the LPGA stat.
Mm-hmm.
But
Brooke was T6.
Oh, good ad. That's it for quick hits. Just had one topic of discussion. Max Homa tweeted out saying he disagreed with this Golf Digest article. The article was that golf is good for your mental health. And Max Homa said, I can't stress this enough, disagree.
Yeah, I think Bronell also disagrees.
It's a tough question because I get where Max is coming from.
I think
he did it for a living.
I think he's more about the tweet, though. That might not be his actual stance on it. It might just be like a Twitter.
Well, I also think he's looking at it from a different point of view. Like for they're talking about COVID, and it's good to get outdoors, and it's good to take away the stress of what your life probably is giving you.
Big time it is.
And he's saying golf in itself is actually quite stressful. Like you still haven't slept from that shot you hit on 16 4 days ago
in a meaningless round.
Yeah. Yes. There are a lot of times where you go golfing with people that actually like truly don't care how good they are. And it's like refreshing to watch those people.
We played with that guy on Thursday.
Yeah. So the guy we played with on Thursday, bro, and myself, he like didn't even keep score.
He was like putting with like a pool cue on a bunch of holes just randomly. And
like the one hole, like, he just like
putter or he had
no, he just laid on the ground and pool cued his ball into the hole.
Like 3 times. It was a little bit much.
Yeah, that's a
three
little
might bit. Have been much. A bit much. Once well, or twice.
No,
maybe.
You'd have to do it twice because you don't want to just do it once and look like
But it was right. more
this clown.
Yeah. It was more so twice, just
so maybe does it.
Like he would hit balls, they would be like not even like lost, but like generally tough to find. He's like, whatever. The one hole he just picked up.
I love
up.
That.
The one hole he just picked up. He's just like, I'm done this.
Oh,
hole.
The auto ball in the pocket reload as soon as it's off the club face.
Pretty much. Yeah. But he just like didn't care. Like didn't keep score on a bunch of holes. Like it was refreshing to watch. It's like you actually don't want to know what your score is this round.
I spent like minutes looking for his ball in that one hole. He's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Although I can kind of agree with that because we've said this many, many times. If I can't find my ball in like 25 seconds, I don't even want to look for it anymore.
Yeah, that's weird.
Mostly because I'll just drop it for free, but that's beside the point.
There it is.
If I know where it is and I can't find it, I'm just dropping one because it's not worth the time to find the ball. I know the general area it's in.
Leaf rule.
But that's my favorite part of fall golf is the leaf rule.
Well, that's what I forgot to mention. I love fall golf, not just because I played good that round, but like I can finally see the balls land. Like it's like the way the sun is, I could pick the ball up longer in the air. Normally, I just hit it and I kind of have an idea, and then I hope I find it in the trees.
Yeah, but then you find them all. You find yours and 3 more.
Oh, I'm a known ball hawk. Yeah, yeah. When it comes to finding golf balls. Yep.
All right, picks.
Yeah, picks.
Recap. Right, I guess.
Pick recap. Pick
recap. Oh boy.
Well, I did it again.
Britney Spears.
Greased.
Yeah, I greased another one, I guess. You guys call whatever you want. I have 8 points.
I'll be calling it greased for
Are you the only one with points?
No, Randy has 2.
Oh, right.
Yeah, remember the lead you had last year?
Oh, I remember very well. I'm just hoping who was second? Me?
Randy.
After Randy?
You.
He's the algorithm.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
I had McCumber. Scheffler, Zalatoris, McCumber was 6th. Scheffler, 37. Zalatoris missed the cut. 67 for a 36.67 average. Randy was 2nd. CT Pan, 12th. Bill Haas, 35th. Patrick Rogers missed the cut, 38 average. Matty B was 3rd. Sungjae Im, 28th. Tom Hoagie, 28th. And Lucas Glover missed the cut for 41 average. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
RIP, Lucas.
Yeah.
He's back. Hey, he's back.
Sanderson?
Back in the hall. Back in
oh,
the,
boy.
Back in the garage.
Watch.
And Bronell, dead last. Rogers miscut. Redmond, 28th. Taylor miscut. 54 average.
Tough one.
Yeah, not great.
Not great.
All right. This
Sanderson.
Week,
or no, Shriners.
Shriners, TPC Summerlin. I've been to this tournament.
You have? Yep.
And it's also the tournament we talked about with
Hughes. Yep.
Hughes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Was it
just now?
Just now? No, we're talking about the Vegas thing with
Homa.
Right.
Better things to do in Vegas, he said, than go watch golf.
Tonight. Yeah, his buddies showed up for 1 o'clock.
Yep.
That's right.
This TPC Summerlin though is like the easiest course on video game golf.
Just, I remember
it's just
going
straight.
Yeah, I remember going to it. I was like, this is a PGA course. It was the first PGA tournament I'd ever been to in my life. I was like, I played on a course better than this yesterday when I was in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I thought when I went to the tournament.
Guaranteed. It was right.
Yeah.
It's just up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not great.
Got some couple notables playing this week. Fran Molinari's back.
It's brought that up like 7 times.
It is noticeable. Noticeable. It is notable.
Yeah. Smiley Kaufman also playing. I don't know how.
Do you want to bet on Fran's score?
I've been killing you guys in these bets, by the way.
Yeah,
I stink at picks, but I've been killing you guys in bets.
Are we going Fran cut, miscut?
I'll give you 40th.
Oh, he ain't making the cut, Harv.
I get 40th or better.
Oh, take that all day.
Yeah. What's the odds? I'm assuming you want odds because you're greasy like that.
No odds.
Straight up sixer.
Four and four.
Next Monday. Don't do it. Say three.
40th for 4 and 4. All fours.
Smart. Yep.
Oh, fuck it. Whatever. Timestamp. Sorry.
Nice.
Yeah. There's no. I'm glad I didn't make this bet because I don't think Fran sniffs.
The smells cut. The cut?
He doesn't smell the cut.
No, I don't think
so. All right, let's get into it then.
Canadians.
Picks. Oh, yeah.
The Let's back. Yep. Let's go.
The Let's back.
He's done well here before, I think.
He has, for sure.
Hadwin's back. Taylor's back. Gligs Monday Q'd today. 63.
Monday Q 63.
Wasn't there a couple big Monday Q stories?
Well, there was like another big playoff.
64 got you in a 4-for-2 playoff.
Yeah, but that guy, what's his name? Matt Wilson?
Yeah.
The guy working in the back shop or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Case of the Golf, Monday Q. He's working in the
back shop a couple days ago.
Yeah, 2 days a week he works in the back shop.
He shot 64 in the pre-Q, which was his lowest round ever.
Last week, and then he shot 63 this week.
And then there was another one.
Birdie the last three holes.
It's insane.
And then you just posted another one.
Roller coaster. That was that one.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yep. It was that one.
Are you sure?
Yeah, 100%. I am.
No, George Markham.
You posted that one.
Yeah, I posted this one. You're right. He.
What a train wreck. Start the whole pod over.
Yeah. No way. Redo. We're right into it. We're in the meat of it.
He's in the pre-qualify. You need an eagle on 18 to get in. And he hit his three-wood short and then chipped in for eagle and then qualified today.
And he's the one that birdied the last three today.
Yes.
That's the mix-up.
What a roller coaster.
Monday qualifying, it's just...
They got to start getting those things on TV.
Ryan French knows what's going on. He was ahead of the curve with his Monday qualifier.
I want video.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be something.
All right. Picks.
Do you guys want that podcast list that I
promised? Yes, I do. Yeah. All of them.
It's actually not that long, but it's pretty long.
Okay, sure. Reel them off.
Damon.
Fast as you can.
Damon, Dillette, Gligs, Hadwin, Harrington, Higgs, Homa, Hoagie, Putnam, Stallings, and Taylor.
Smart.
Not bad.
I've noticed this, and it's even more noticeable now, the amount of H's we've had.
Yes.
Hughes,
I think
Higgs,
I was the
first
to point that out, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, that was before we had Home on, so now there's an extra
popular
one.
Last name letter.
Yeah.
Hughes times two.
Mine is also. I haven't seen any mine MH too. Things coming from Homa lately, so he must just be still
not
sorting through
his
stuff.
Not even like a courtesy pair of cufflinks or something.
Yeah, he's probably sorting through his stuff.
Okay, I'm picking first.
Yep.
No Bryson. Brainer. Long, straight, course, no trouble. The big beefy boy.
Yeah.
Bryson DeChambeau.
See that
heavy
coming
favorite.
A mile
what
away.
Is he, like 7-1 to win this thing?
Might be 2-1.
Should be.
2-1? Well,
won it before.
Sticking with the Bombers, I think Tony Finau is going to win this week.
Are you seriously taking him?
Yes.
I had a huge write-up about him here, ready to take
well,
him.
Well, can you say the write-up for me?
Give him your paper.
He's perfect in 6 consecutive trips with 2 top 15s and a pair of T16s. Led last year's field in strokes gained tee to green, en route to a T9. And he's got 5 top 10s and a top 20 in his last 8 starts.
So did you type that out or just copy and paste it from the power rankings? I just want to know.
I put it in my own words.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm just going to say this, full disclosure. I think I said it. I started this about 4 months ago. Not even looking at the power rankings anymore. So I'm just taking Finau. What number is he in the power rankings?
I have no idea.
Like
I was
10th or 11th?
I was taking him sure.
I'm not even.
What's Bryson?
Don't even look.
Because I was just going to take him.
1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Bruno.
Shit. So I was going to do my new gimmick for picks was going to be I'm going to pick the exact same guys as I picked last week, every week.
But can't because you're not
gimmick?
In this week.
Hmm?
Are the same 3 guys in it this week?
They are, yeah.
So you're just going to, your gimmick's going to be the same guys every single week until they're not in it?
No. Until I do good with them.
Okay.
But I'm not doing it. I changed my mind.
Oh, you changed your mind. He's already
changed my mind.
That, yeah, because that sounds
so
like
so you're taking who?
I'll take Morikawa.
Yeah, exactly. that's why you abandoned it.
Perfect. I didn't think I was going to get the guy I wanted second, but I'll take Matthew Wolf.
Oh, perfect.
1-3 in the ranks, eh? Didn't want to go 1-2. Well, I didn't want Simpson.
I'm not. I was just gonna say Simpson. I'm taking Webb Simpson. I assume he's two.
I got my guys. So yeah. Be it if they're up there.
I'll take Simpson. Yeah.
Sure. I'm going a little bit down. I'm going with a guy who is the best putter on tour. Can you name him?
Ricky Fowler.
I'm not that gimmicky with my picks. He is playing though. Best putter on tour, Denny McCarthy.
Yeah, I've taken him many, many times. Yeah.
T6 last week.
I would have said that's a
guy's hot. Pick.
Yeah, he's my DraftKings darling forever. I'd take Denny McCarthy every week in DraftKings.
Great.
Okay, here's my third pick. You posed this question twice in the group today. And that question was, who has the stones? And I'm taking Matt Wilson.
Nice.
No way.
He's doing
You're
it.
You're taking him.
I'm taking him. I got such a big lead, who cares? And I also have the two best guys in the tournament. So
I actually love that you're taking Matt Wilson.
Yeah, he's got the stones.
That is a great pick.
1-3 in the ranks, but we'll give you the stones.
And the stones.
Yeah.
So just going to put it on record because I'm not sure which one. I'm taking Doc Redman or Cam Champ. I think I'm going to take Doc Redman.
No, you're not. You're not taking him. You can't do it.
You said Pino. You weren't taking a guy you took last week.
So that I would get him with my last pick.
Oh, gamesmanship.
The best is that I was going to take Redman the whole time, but I wanted to put on record that I like Cam Champ because of the distance thing, but I want Doc Redman.
But Champ's in the power ranks anyway, so you can't take him.
I don't look at the power ranks. I have no idea.
I know, but you have to because that's part of the rules.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't. So therefore, I guess by the rules, I'm taking Champ or Redman anyway. So I have Finau and Redman, which were both on your team, because actually now I feel bad about my team. That I have two of the guys that you wanted on
here. Because
he's bad at this. Yeah, terrible.
You automatically can't win this week, pretty much.
Or I can win, and then you'll be upset because it should have been your team.
I'm just scrambling now. I'm going to take friend of the pod, Joel Damon. I don't think he's in the ranks.
I thought you were going to go Scooter.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I don't think he's top 50 in the world. He's definitely not top 50
in
the world.
He's definitely not in the ranks, I don't think.
Okay.
We didn't really talk about this, but is Vegas back to somewhat normal? Like, I was thinking in general.
The states in general are pretty back to normal,
aren't
they?
Don't let the virus dominate.
Yeah, don't let the virus. Just take off your mask.
Just live your GD life.
Yep. Oh, man, I can't believe that. Anyway, that's it. Anyone else got anything else to add? You guys got anything to add?
No, let's get to Huey.
Oh, you're just going to ruin it like that? All right, that wraps it up for us. Thanks to Matt Hughes for joining the boys. Hope everyone enjoys the Shriners this week. We'll be back next week, hopefully with MJ Duffy.
LPGA major this week too. Brooks. Yeah. Brooks going to be up
in.
There.
Champions Tour's got an unreal field again. Jimmy Furyk, lay some money down maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back next week. Until then, it's time for us to hit the clubhouse.